Hello and welcome. I'm Alec Hogg. You've read the headlines on biznews.com, caught up on the BizNews briefing, watched the interviews on BizNews TV, and I trust also gone on to BizNews Radio to get our podcasts, which is where you're actually getting this one from anyway. But now let's talk about what the latest developments mean for your money. This is the Editor's Desk, exclusive analysis for BizNews Premium members. Today is Wednesday, the 10th of December, 2025. I'm glad to have you with me. There should be a lot more attention being paid to what's going on at Eskom at the moment and the negotiations that it is having with Glencore Merafe, I guess you could call it. It's a joint venture that has got smelters here in South Africa and with Samancor, because smelters rely on electricity and smelters are part of the beneficiation chain that the South African government is so obsessed about. Not a bad idea when it comes to chrome and manganese, because we are amongst the world's most or best endowed on chrome and manganese, but to actually export the ore is not a smart idea. Beneficiate it, but beneficiation requires smelters, and smelters require electricity, and the cost of electricity in South Africa does not compete at all in the way that it used to in bygone years, to the degree that now it's sometimes more economically viable to put that ore into a container ship, send it off to China, and get it smelted there. Yeah, that's how bad it is. Anyway, there's a realization of this, and there's a lot of people who are employed in this subsector, on top of which there is an enormous amount of foreign exchange that is earned from the export of chrome and smelted chrome and manganese. But with the cost of electricity, the smelters have been very much on thin ice. About 2 years ago, there was a discussion and a final negotiation where Eskom gave the smelters a 40% discount on the normal price, the average price. But even that hasn't been enough. And yesterday, we had an announcement coming out from Eskom, Glencore Merafe. In fact, Merafe issued a statement on the Stock Exchange News Service, and NUMSA put the word out there to all of its members. And effectively what had happened was that the retrenchments that were supposed to go ahead now to close those smelters have been put on ice. And the reason for that is that they are giving themselves a three-month breathing period, not quite 3 months, but by the end of February, they will come back together and have an agreement that will then make it viable for the smelters to continue to operate. And perhaps, this is all perhaps. I spoke to Agnes Mlabo, who is the head of distribution. She's a group executive for distribution at Eskom. A fascinating interview, which will be in our director's cut tonight. And you'll also be able to see the highlights or a little patch of that on the BizNews briefing at on the NCA at 7:30. But what came out of that conversation is very interesting for the future of industry in South Africa. Eskom has been really running around just trying to produce electricity. And the decision a couple of years ago to allow the private sector, and not just allow, but to incentivize the private sector to produce electricity. Remember, before then, the ANC wanted to control everything. It's part of this whole developmental state mentality, which has cost this country so dearly. But the whole idea for the ANC was that nobody else but Eskom could produce electricity. Well, that didn't work out well for us. We had load shedding, the ANC's falling in the polls. It's got a lot to do with load shedding in the first instance. Of course, once you lose 50, go below 50%, it becomes a self-perpetuating problem for them. But getting down there from a, most people don't really care that much about politics as long as things are going okay for the majority of people. They don't get too angry with the politicians. But when you get load shedding, then everybody gets angry. And that was a terrible indictment on the developmental state and bankrupt ideology, where they get this national development plan, and I'll talk about that in a moment as well, is really well worth going back to. It was designed by Soviet Union so-called intellectuals in the 1950s and the 1960s. So it is so bankrupt and so out of kilter with a modern economy where artificial intelligence is now wiping out whole chunks of the employment chain. And here we go on this national development plan. Well, the reality is dawning on many people in South Africa, many people in high places, because if you've got a economic growth rate that the International Monetary Fund now projects at 1.3% this year and 1.4% next year, that is comparing with a population growth rate of 1.6%. Well, we've had more than a decade already of contracting GDP per capita numbers. In other words, on average, we in South Africa get poorer. Of course, it doesn't work like that. The elites get richer and the poor get even more desperate. But unless that is reversed, and the only way to reverse that is through economic growth, well, eventually, as the alliteration people would say, the fit is going to hit the shan. Now, getting back to what's going on at Eskom and the discussions with Glencore and Samancor and why this is so critical. In my conversation this morning with Agnes Malumbo, she said this is a new blueprint. Now, she's been in the job since August, but she says it's not her decision. This is a decision from the group chief executive, Dan Marocani, and presumably the board as well, that they are going to negotiate with individual industries on a industry-by-industry basis. Now, I've got no doubt that the cement industry and the steel industry and the mining industry are going to be knocking on Eskom's doors very soon as well to say, okay, we need to get a special deal too, just like the smelters. Otherwise, we too cannot expand and, in fact, we'll have to contract, as is happening in Newcastle with the long steels plant there. So there's a whole lot of working parts, but Eskom was running around trying to get electricity as much as possible to stop load shedding. The entrance of the private sector through tax incentives has given, in the one hand, and renewables on the other hand, and just allowing, literally just allowing companies to put up their own electricity producing plants from various sources, be it solar or biomass. Or wind, that has transformed the picture. And now Eskom is looking ahead and saying, okay, so we need to do two things. We're a state-owned enterprise. We need to do something good for South Africa. And this is what I got out of the conversation with Ms. Malumbo. And the second thing is, so do something good for South Africa. In other words, don't allow the hollowing out of industry on the basis that electricity is too expensive. We just got to make a plan. And the second thing there is to make sure that they do have demand for the supply that they have at the moment. So although they're getting better and more efficient, with the private sector coming in, there's a surplus of electricity in South Africa at the moment. Hallelujah. But it is the truth. Anyway, that's the big story. And that's the story I think that everybody is missing. And we are very interested in following what's going on there. And I do think that it's a great positive for South Africa. And boy, do we need it. If you read the IMF's report, there is an article on BizNews. And then juxtapose that against the discussion document that the ANC issued to its members ahead of this latest conference that they put together, which says whether the National Development Plan and into the future, essentially the IMF is saying, you guys are crazy. You cannot, your developmental state idea is wrong. It's hit brick walls. Please unleash the economic growth here. Bring in the private sector. Adopt market, free market policies, and you'll get this economy rolling. You've got fantastic potential. You've also got some adults in the room at places like the National Treasury, the Reserve Bank, and South African Revenue Services. So you've got a good institutional background. You've got it all going for you, but your ideology is crazy. That's what they're saying, paraphrasing it. And what does the ANC do? Hey, it continues, it doubles down, triples down on that ideology. There's a piece on that as well, where it's saying, hang on, this whole thing with a government of national unity, don't worry, it's a temporary thing. The National Democratic Revolution will be turbocharged. We just need to get the votes back so that we can reverse this reduction in our share of the voting. We get back about 50% onto the National Development Plan again, and to hell with all these reforms in the economy. We can run it. We should run it as a developmental state. Hey. I was in a conversation this morning with Rory Steyn, who actually got hold of me. He's in Australia, and he gave us some very interesting feedback on what's going on in Australia with the ban on under 16s on social media. Fascinating thing, that experiment that they're bringing in there. And I said to him, it all reminded me of Plato's description that the most damage, the most evil that is done is through ignorance. But there are two types of ignorance. There's the ignorance, which is by those who don't know that they don't know, and they are arrogant and they think they have the answers, but they're not prepared to open their minds to what they don't know. And to me, this is what those propagating this National Development Plan are doing. They just really are in a time warp where they don't seem to care what happens to everybody around them, but they know and they're going to dawn it on with what they're doing. And then you have on the other side of it those who are ignorant and make mistakes because they actually don't know any better. And that the Greek ancients said were people, or to me, a modern example would be people who bet. Because when you stop and think about it, the takeout from the bet is only one person's going to win, or only one side is going to win, and it's not you, the one doing the punting. And it gets worse in the national lottery. The national lottery is a punishment on people who don't understand mathematics. Because when you work the numbers back, your chances of getting a fair return are so low that, well, I don't know, you've got more chance of maybe drowning in the sea and you're not a swimmer, that kind of thing. But anyway, that's ignorance, and that ignorance can be fixed, because if those people who don't know any better get information that helps them to understand, and that's what we do at BizNews, that's what we're here for. We're here to open eyes. Then that's their minds will change as well. But for those people who know, but they don't actually, their eyes are closed because they refuse to open them and they refuse to see another point of view. They're the real evil ones, according to Plato, going back there. Anyway, it seems as though at Eskom, there were a lot of people who were in the latter category. They just didn't know any better, but now there's a lot of people who've been brought in who really do know better, and good on Mteto Nyati and Dan Morikani, and I was very impressed as well by Agnes Mlambo. There's a great group of people who are in there now, it appears, and they certainly are looking for ways of getting South Africa going again. Okay, so that's the big story of the day. Before we go, a couple of investment insights. Went through there was a report this morning from HCI. Now, I know it's just been included in our portfolio, and you probably think I'm trying to talk my own book. Well, I'm talking our book, if you like. Our book meaning the book for BizNews portfolios. The share price didn't do much today on news that HCI has bought back, it disclosed it's bought back 650 million rands worth of its own stock. And that was mostly in the 130 to 135 rand level, sitting at 140 rand now. So the other interesting thing was that they have permission to buy back at least as much of that stock into the future. And why? It's a good call because this company is trading at about 60 cents in the rand, the value of its assets versus the current share price. So I'm very, very happy to have this in my portfolio. I mean, wouldn't you be, anybody be, if you buy a financial asset at 60 cents in the rand? And then finally, our little whisper for today, I have just uploaded the Neil de Beer Liberty Indaba. The event will be held on the 9th of March and you now can go in and get your tickets. That'll be available on, it's on Quicket, so you can go to Quicket and put NDB Liberty Indaba if you like. That'll pop up for you. The speakers are, Helen Ziller will do the welcome and opening. Michael Louis, Corne Mulder, Ayanda Ali, Wayne Duvenage, Celia Brunk, Rory Steyn, and old favourite of many, Nick Hudson, the co-founder and chairman of Panda. Nick's been under the radar for a while, but the Liberty Indaba is all about focusing on our civil liberties, our as private citizens of South Africa, the attack on our liberties, and those people were selected by Neil, the late Neil de Beer, before he passed. I think wherever he is now, he'll be looking down and saying, okay, well done, guys. I'm very happy to see that grouping. Neil, you might recall, is the only person ever to have had a standing ovation at the BizNews conference. And so this is on the 9th of March, the NDB Liberty Indaba. On the 10th of March, 10, 11, 12 of March next year, we have the BizNews conference. And then on the 13th of March, my lucky day, Friday the 13th, I hope it is yours too. Oh, this is going to be my lucky day. You may as well not even come, but let me explain what I'm talking about. We have the golf tournament. And we this year, it is sponsored by Shift. And as a consequence, there are 48 places. So if you come into the conference and you play golf, I would suggest you book your spot because Standard Bank Shift sponsorship means that the green fees will be 250 rand. In other words, visitors usually pay over 1,000. I think it's 1,100 rand. You'll get to play at a great golf course for 250 bucks with like-minded people, being the BizNews community and quite a few of our keynote speakers. I know Rob Herzog always plays. Prince Mashele will play as well. And Wayne Duvenage will play. They're in the mix. And the way that partners, it happens is that there's a random draw for partners. So you get to spend 5 hours in a golf cart. And that, by the way, is also taken care of, the cost thereof, by the Shift guys. So we're really delighted that they are sponsoring this golf day. They did it at the investment conference and they said, all right, next time we'll look after all the stuff. You guys, you know, it was our first time of having them as sponsors and they'll give us the full experience, I'm sure. Anyway, there are 48 spots and that's on the Friday the 13th. That too is now up on Quicket. So the David Cart Memorial Trophy shootout will be, I think, as memorable as all the others have been. Well, I hope you found all of that very interesting. I certainly enjoyed sharing it with you. And I'm going to leave it there for today. Keep an eye on your premium newsletter for links to our freshest published content. And thanks for trusting us with your time. I'm Alec Hogg. Until tomorrow, cheerio.